Well, it's March Madness time. Anybody else brave enough to admit that they picked Virginia to go all the way? Not really, huh? That was painful, but overall, it's been a fairly fun experience, hasn't it? And the more I think about March Madness, think about this social phenomenon, I realize that in some ways it really is madness, isn't it? It's one of the few times throughout the year where everybody agrees that they're going to watch this sport, whether or not they've paid attention to it the rest of the year, whether or not they know anything about it, we're all going to watch this. Maybe the Super Bowl is the other time. But everybody fills out their brackets because it's become just a part of our culture. It's just another thing that people do. I bring this up because it illustrates the point, first of all, that the culture around us has a lot of influence on us, has a lot of influence on the way that we think, on the things that we do, the things that we participate in. We have to recognize that as Catholics. But we also realize that the more something is done, or I should say the longer something is done, the more normal it seems to us. March now is just that time when March Madness happens. Everyone expects it, everyone looks forward to it. It's just another part of our culture. So the longer something happens, the more normal it becomes, and the culture around us definitely, obviously, shapes us in many ways. And now I'm not saying this is bad, obviously not. March Madness is a good thing. We have fun doing it. Unfortunately, though, sin is the same way. One of the most insidious things about sin is that it co-naturalizes us. And that's a big word, but it just means that the longer we participate in a sin, the more normal it seems to us. Or put another way, the longer we participate in a sin, the less bad it seems. It doesn't even seem like a sin anymore. Eventually, the longer it's done, it just seems normal. It just seems natural. And brothers and sisters, if we take an honest look at the culture around us, the society which we live in that shapes us in so many ways, we can see this happening, can't we? There's lots of things that have become normal in our culture that are not normal at all, that are actually sinful, things that are bad for us. I'm talking about things like abortion, contraception, gay marriage, euthanasia, cohabitation, violence and vulgarity in our entertainment. All of these things have become so prevalent, so widespread in our culture for such a long time that we can't often see how bad they are anymore. And to many people in our culture, it just seems normal. But brothers and sisters, we have to be the ones to stand up for the truth. Those of us who have been baptized into the truth, born into the body of Jesus Christ, the truth itself, we have to be the ones to stand up for the truth, the ones to stand up for what's right. In other words, we have to be the ones who witness to what's right. I believe this is what Jesus is getting at in our gospel today when he says, "Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life." Those are pretty strong words, and it's a little confusing when we hear it at first. I mean, we hear that and we think, well, gosh, am I really supposed to hate my life? Am I supposed to be depressed all the time, to hate my circumstances, to hate the people around me? No, obviously not. That's not what God's getting at. Jesus wants us to be happy in this world and with him for eternal life. But he does mean here that even though we have to live in the world, in society, in the culture around us, we're not meant to become part of that culture. We're not meant to give in to those things that draw us away from Christ. We're meant to die to the sinful parts of the world, to hate those sinful parts of the world, to reject them, and do our best to get them out of society, to stand up for what's true and preserve our life for eternity. And again, we do this by witnessing to what's right, to what's good, to what's true, and to what's beautiful. And just to let you know, the word witness comes from the Greek word, which means martyr. The martyrs, of course, are the ones who have died for their faith, the ones who stood for their faith so firmly that they were put to death for it. Now, for us living in the 21st century in America, we're probably not going to have to die for our faith. That's just the fact. However, that doesn't mean we're not going to have to suffer. That doesn't mean that we're not really going to be martyrs for our faith. It's going to be difficult at times. It's not going to be fun standing up for the truth. You will be persecuted by those around you, your co-workers, your friends, your family, maybe even. But we do have to be those martyrs for Christ, those witnesses to what's true. Now, I have two ways that we can do that, especially as we're in these last couple weeks of Lent. The first is to be reconciled to God and to His church. Specifically, I mean, through the sacrament of reconciliation. On Wednesday, we're having the Be Reconciled Day throughout the whole diocese. Every church is going to be open all day for confessions. So here at this parish, all three priests are going to be at the Crane Road Church from 9 in the morning to 8 in the evening, hearing confessions all day. We're going to be open all day, ready for people to come in. The downtown church is also going to be open from 10 to 1 p.m. Father Jorge is going to be here hearing confessions in Spanish for anybody who might need that. But all of the other churches in the diocese are going to be open as well, with priests ready to hear confessions. So please consider going on this day. Even if it's been a long time, even if you've got big things to say, participate in this sacrament. Bring those things to Jesus. I promise you, the priests are going to be nice. We're going to be patient. We're going to be helpful. Don't be afraid. If Wednesday doesn't work for you, we've got other times that we've added in the next couple weeks before Easter to go to confession. So check out the bulletin for those things. But consider being reconciled to God and to His church through that sacrament. And another program that Monsignor Knox is putting on right after Easter, starting April 3rd, he's putting on a Catholics Returning Home class. It's going to be once a week for 3 weeks for people who have been away from the church for a while. This is for people who have questions about the faith, maybe have difficulties, maybe need some help returning to the church. And because of this, we have in our bulletin today, page 3 and 4 is perforated. You can tear that out and give it to somebody as an invitation to come to this class, to have their questions answered. We realize, brothers and sisters, we all know people who have fallen away from the church, who haven't been to church in a while. But one of the biggest ways that we can bring those people back is to simply invite them. To simply know, have them know that they're welcome in the church, that we have answers and we want them back. So consider giving that invitation to somebody and help them be reconciled to God and to His church. All right, so that's the first step, be reconciled. The second step is to simply never be afraid of the truth. Never be afraid to let people know what we believe in as Catholics. Never be afraid to live out your faith, to proclaim your faith, because it is the truth. The Catholic faith has been compared to a lion in the past. You don't have to defend a lion. You simply have to let it out of its cage, and it'll take care of itself. Never be afraid of your faith, of the truth, and freely give it to those around you. By the way that you live, by what you say, by the things that you do, by the things that you don't do, be that true witness to Jesus Christ and to His church. So especially, again, in these last couple weeks of Lent, we pray for the strength and for the grace that we need to truly be those witnesses that Christ is calling us to be those lights to the world that our society so desperately needs in this time. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.